today's message.
This conference is being recorded.
Today's message will be a different kind of lesson. It will be biblical, but it will be different in some senses from the way that we normally teach, whereas we normally go book by book, chapter by chapter. There is a time and a place where topics need to be taught. And you'll find that Jesus teaches a lot of topics because people will come to him with a specific question, and he doesn't go through the whole list of what's in Deuteronomy 5, 6, 7, and 8. He'll deal with a specific point, and he'll tie the scriptures together somewhat like a computer has hyperlinks. Now, Paul did the same thing, and I'm not saying that I'm them, but they have set a pattern that needs to be followed. So today, being what is called a holiday, which is supposed to be a holy day, and is being March the 23rd, 2008. This day is called Easter by a lot of people. They are celebrating it. Some people probably have their new shoes. Little boys get their new shoes. Sometimes they get a new coat and a jacket. And if the family can't afford a new suit, sometimes they get a nice little pair of pants and a shirt. Little girls may get dresses that they don't like. Can I get an amen, Jelly? Just one. They get a dress that they don't want. And sometimes women get their hair fixed and institutional churches get to bustling with people that they haven't seen before. And the preacher often gets up and tells the Easter story. And I do mean tell the Easter story. Because what normally that they read from the Bible is a story. It's not, when I say story, it's a lie if you're going to call it the Easter story. The Easter story should be about Easter. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ should be what it is. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can accept Passion Week, as some people call it. I can accept our Lord's Passion. But the Lord God Almighty, who is blessed forever, who sits between the cherubim, had a name for it way before he sent his son to be the Savior of the world. He called it Passover. And what our title for today's message, or our inquiry into truth, because God is spirit. And if we're going to worship him, we should worship him in spirit and truth. And once the information is put out here, we can determine what we want to do with it. Today's message is called, To Easter or Not to Easter? That is the question. Almost sound like I'm trying to be a little Shakespearean on it. To Easter or not to Easter? That is the question. Well, let's look at it and let's see, when is Easter this year? Well, Easter this year is on March the 23rd. And by Easter being on March the 23rd this year, for an individual to say that this is the day that Christ was raised from the dead, the only way that they could get away with that and be somewhat right is to say that it's because it's Sunday. But to say that this is the Easter based on the information that leads up to it, that there was Good Friday last week, and then after Good Friday, then comes Easter, that Jesus was killed on Good Friday, and that he was raised on this day, that's wrong. Tim, why do you say it's wrong? Well, let's flip the calendar. Mom was so nice to have a calendar here. Forgot to bring this prop. If you look in your calendar, on April 2008, you'll see that Passover is the 20th of April. Let's do some counting. If you count your calendars on the same line, you can count the weeks. The 30th is next week. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a total of 4 weeks, a whole month off. Now, if I can prove to you today, or if the Bible can prove to you that Jesus was killed at Passover. If the Bible can prove to you that Jesus is the Passover, and if the Bible can prove to you that this is what they call communion, which what is what was called Passover, and it's 4 whole weeks away, how is it that we can hold to it that Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter? If he was killed at Passover, and 3 days from Passover is when he raised from the dead, is there anyone in here that can stretch 3 into 28? Because if you can, I can bring $300 here next week, and that'll give me 100 sets of 3. And if you could stretch $3 into 28, do you understand I can have $2,800 off of 100? Off of 100 sets. I don't know if people are following my math, so let's break it down. If you can stretch $3 into 28, if I give somebody $3 and they make it 28, if we do that 100 times, because I bring $300, I'll have $2,800. There's no way that anybody can stretch 3 into 28 and make it be the same. But we try to do that with Easter. And yet we'll tell the ungodly world that this is the number one holiday for the Christians. Well, I submit to you, if you go to Google and type in the origins of Easter, you will find from people that don't love God, witches, people that are in Wicca, people that are Satanists, New Age, Jehovah's Witness, you'll find people that care nothing about God's word, whatever, will tell you the true origins of Easter and the name of Easter. Now, I have some books here today, and I won't read all of these books, but in taking these books, I have what is called The Origins of Sacred Things by Charles Panatti. I have the two Babylons. I have pagan traditions. I have the Golden Bough. I have things I've copied, and I have a multiplicity of books. It's just too replete, the information that's given. But I started with the calendar. But I want you to listen to something. I think this book here is Catholic because it tells you the origin of sacred things. So it's not Catholic bashing. They're just telling it like it is. Now, when we look at Easter, listen to what it has to say. When is Easter observed? It's on the Sunday following the first full moon after the vernal equinox, falling between March the 22nd and April the 25th. When we go into the scripture, we're going to see that God's Passover is always the 14th day of the month of Abib, and in the other Jewish calendar, it will be the 14th day of the month of Nisan. It has never rotates between the 22nd of one month and then to the 25th of another one. It doesn't do that. God is specific in what he's doing. His types and his shadows give a message to mankind about his redemption. Again, it says, it commemorates, this is what this book said, it commemorates Christ's resurrection from the dead. I find that to be a contradiction. If Christ's resurrection was at a specific time at one of God's ordained immovable feasts, I don't see how you can remove his feast from the time frame that it is and say it celebrates that. But to be fair to people that don't see it and don't care, maybe they can frame their mind around that this is when we're going to celebrate it. But for me, growing up, having Easter speeches, saying, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or this is the day that our Savior rose from the grave and brought salvation to every man. Happy Easter. When you have speeches like that, when you have songs like Christ the Lord has risen today, hallelujah. When you hear songs like that saying it happened today, and they make it specific that it's this day, I find it to be an error, and it's not in truth. It's hard for me to see that I could combine the two. It says, in the Christian faith, Easter is the most sacred of the holy days because it commemorates the cornerstones of the miracle of faith. Had Christ not risen, Christianity could have never flourished. Since the man Jesus would not have been proven to be the Son of God, Jesus, but the Holy Day's name, listen to this, derives its name from ancient pagan festival and is the name of the Saxon goddess of spring, the offspring Astore. E-A-S-T-R-E. You can pronounce it Astore because they pronounce it a lot of ways. I have paperwork to show it. How did a raucous pagan ritual become a solemn Christian service? Second century Christian missionaries spreading out among the Teutonic tribes of North Rome encountered numerous heathen religious observances. Whenever possible, the missionary tried not to interfere too strongly with the entrenched popular customs. Rather quietly and often ingenuously, they attempted to transform pagan practices into ceremonies that harmonized with Christian doctrines. There was a very special reason for this. Converts publicly partaking in a Christian ceremony on a day when no one else in their clan was celebrating stood out like a proverbial sore thumb, easy targets for persecution. But if the Christian rite was staged on the same day as a long-observed pagan celebration, and if the two modes of worship were not glaringly different, then the new converts might live to make other converts. The Christian missionaries astutely observed that centuries-old festivals to Astore commemorated the start of spring, coincided with the time of the year of their own observance, the miracle of the resurrection. Thus, the resurrection was subsumed under the protective Rubric Easter, spelled E-A-S-T-E-R, saving the lives of countless Christians. It just so happened that Easter, a fertility goddess of the ancient world, means spring, had her earthly symbol in the prolific hare or rabbit, hence the origin of the Easter bunny. You know, when children can't say it, well, it's the Easter bunny. After the feast of Easter, the ox was sacrificed and the image of his horns carved into ritual bread. This evolved into a twice-scored Easter biscuit. We call them hot cross buns. Well, I don't remember seeing that in our ethnic group, the hot cross buns. But evidently, it's popular in some groups. Then it says, in fact, the word bun derives its name from the Saxon word ox, which is B-O-U-N, bun. For several decades, Easter was variously celebrated on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Finally, in 325, in the Council of Nicaea, convened by the Emperor Constantine, he issued the so-called Easter Rule. Easter should be celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon or on or after the vernal equinox. Consequently, Easter is not astronomically bound to, Easter is astronomically bound never to fall earlier than March the 22nd or the 25th. At the same council, Constantine decreed that the cross be adopted as the official symbol of the young faith. I've read some things in the Council of Nicaea. This is where they came together and they would argue out their problems and the things that were going on. And by Constantine being the emperor, you had problem with what they call the church in the east, the church in the west. We're talking about around 300 A.D. Trajan had persecuted a lot of the Christians. And then they issued what was called an edict of tolerance so that Christianity was tolerated. But many of the people, if they did not bow down to the rule that was set forth under Constantine's rule, you could either be put out of the church, the Catholic Church, you could be banished or killed. But Easter itself is not a name of what God would have us to have for his son. They gave a reason. That's one of the reasons that they give. I read other ones. I think that's the most favorable reading. So I read the most favorable, so it won't be that Tim is just bashing Easter. I want to read something else to you about Easter. Origin of Easter. The name Easter originated with the names of the ancient goddesses and god, the Venerable Bede. This is just letting you know who did this. A Christian scholar first asserted in his book, The Rationale Temporum, that Easter was named Esther Estore, that Naz spelled E-O-S-T-R-E, a.k.a., then it goes E-A-S-T-R-E. She was the great mother goddess of the Saxon people in Northern Europe. Similarly, the Teutonic dawn goddess of fertility was variously known as Ostare, O-S-T-A-R-E, Ostara, O-S-T-A-R-A, Ostern, Ostara, Ostari, Oster. These are just different ways they spell it. A-U-S-T-R-O-N or Ausos, A-U-S-O-S. Her name was derived from the ancient word meaning spring. Easter, similar goddesses were known by other names in ancient cultures around the Mediterranean and were celebrated in the springtime. Listen at the other names, because when you have, for instance, we call Jesus, Jesus. That is not the name that Miriam, who we call Mary, would have called him. She would not have said Jesus, or she wouldn't have said Jesus. She wouldn't have said Jesus. She would have called him Yeshua. The emphasis on the U, Yeshua. Neither would they have called his mother Mary. They would have called her Miriam. But we still understand who we're talking about. The Greek word for Jesus is almost like Aetius. It's spelled with an I. There are different languages say different things, but we're talking about the same person. I think in Spanish he's Jesus, right? Jesus Cristo, Jesus Cristo. So when we're talking about other nationalities or cultures, what did they call this goddess of spring? I'm going to read you some of the names. Aphrodite from ancient Cyprus. Asteris from ancient Israel. Astarte from ancient Greece. Demeter from Mycenae. Hathor from ancient Egypt. Ishtar from Assyria. Kali from India. Ostara, a Norse goddess of fertility. Now these names that I've given, I'm putting them on tape so you can go and you can not tape, but it's digital now. You can go and look it up and see if what I'm saying is true. You find it to be false, bring it to me. But this is the general consensus that these things are going on. And somebody say, Tim, why does it matter? You always want to strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You always talking about somebody majoring on the minor. Look like that's what you're doing. Don't nobody else worry about that but you. Well, first of all, I worry about a lot of stuff that I don't tell people. I worry about Sunday. It doesn't destroy me, but I'm still looking for information. I'm looking for information so that I can give God's word the way it is. And I do know that there was a hatred of everything Jewish in the early church, or at least around the 300 A.D. to between what they call the 2nd and 3rd century. So, why is this stuff important about Easter? What do the scriptures say about Easter? See, that's what we really care about the most. It's really not what Tim says. It's not really what you find on Google. It's not what Alexander Hislop said, who has more information that I found in one book about the ancient worlds, their rites, their custom, anything that's dealing with Christianity and our cultures. It's in here. But let's look at this. While there's clearly no biblical support for Easter, the scriptures do actually have much to say against Easter, both directly and indirectly. Interestingly, Babylonian Astarte, the Assyrian Ishtar, were referred to dozens of times in the Old Testament using the word Ashtaroth, Ashtoreth, and Asherah. Are we in agreement with that? We've gone through 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings. They would have the Asherah poles up. Mm-hmm. They would serve Astarte. They would serve Baal. And the one thing that turns me against any holiday is if I can see that the holiday that's being celebrated was something that God punished Israel for. I think that's fair. If God punished them for it, if God have driven them out of the land for this, I want to know why. I want to know if this is something that I'm adding to in my life that I can eliminate. Now, I can start calling Sunday the first day of the week because I know it's named after the sun. But I don't think a lot of people going to know that because a lot of people think Monday is the first day of the week. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Because that's the day you go to work. That's the day you go to school. So will I stop calling March, March? No. I'm not going to celebrate it. People will say, we're not celebrating Easter. But it holds her name. It is not the day that God had set up to celebrate. Am I being boring? Because I'm trying not to be boring, and I'm not used to reading a whole lot of information.
No, this is interesting.
Okay. You all help me, because if I get boring, I sing a song or something, and here, I'll give you a mental relaxation. It says, the Assyrian Ishtar, the Hebrew Ashtaroth typically translate as groves in the King James Version. That's why they would always go and try to destroy the groves and the high places. It says, such groves were used as idolatrous ritual celebrations. For example, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the Asherahs, Judges 3 and 7. That's New King James Version. This verse could very well be translated and serve Baal and Easter. Remember, wow. If you stop thinking of Easter as a day and think of Easter as a her, a goddess, and it really sometimes it's going to tie back to what is called Semiramis. And the Bible gives us a lot of tangential. Do anybody know what a tangent is? Do you know? Is there anybody here that does not know what a tangent is? A tangent. You don't? Okay. Here's a circle. On the circle, at any point that I touch something, that can be the tangent. Therefore, when the Bible talks about Nimrod, it touches Nimrod on a tangential basis, but Nimrod may be this big in the eyes of man, but in the Bible, it may just tangentially talk about him, just barely mentions him. When it talks about Asherah in the grove, let's say it tangentially touches here, but it doesn't go and explain what was going on. But due to the fact that our Bible was written during the time when other people lived, they have history. If you look at some of their history and some of their writings, and people that travel, they can tell you what was going on in those religions. And one of the top men at that was a man by Layard. And Layard's in Nineveh. I've tried to buy his book, I don't know how many times, on eBay, and when it shoots up too high, I can't get it. But he has some of the greatest reliefs and information about Nineveh, Babylon, and things like that. And most of the time, why do I say he's so great? Let's see if you would come to the same conclusion that I have. When you're reading other things about Nineveh and Nimrod, and you're reading things about Nebuchadnezzar and the things that they did, and the people that you read, they keep quoting Layard. You begin to say, I just need Layard. I don't need all of you all. That's how I begin to learn what kind of books to buy. It's like, who do you quote in your bibliography a lot? Let me get to the priority. So let's go back to this. We read one scripture where we showed that it touches it on a tangent. Now, a lot of people may not know what a tangent is, but I can tell you, you can tell when somebody's going off on a tangent. They're like, we weren't talking about that. The older people say, you just got the tail end of the subject and just go running in the ground. It says, virtually all scholars agree that Asherah is none other than Astarte, who is known as the Queen of Heaven. Have you all ever heard of the Queen of Heaven? If you read Jeremiah, you know the Queen of Heaven. Guess who the Queen of Heaven is now? Mother Mary of the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, yes, she is. Oh, yes, she is. But in the beginning, she was Semiramis. It says, virtually all scholars agree that Asherah is none other than Astarte, also known as the Queen of Heaven. Notice Jeremiah 7 and 18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle a fire. And the women need dough, they need their dough, to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Verse 10 calls it an abomination. These are the reasons that when I talk about certain holidays, that I start getting more and more that, wait a minute, why did this holiday start? What does this holiday mean? And if it ties to something that I know God didn't like, I don't like it. But I can't make everybody see it. Everybody's not going to listen to me. But I do understand that when people celebrate Easter, they're not pouring drink offerings out. They're not burning a fire. But the thing is that if I knew that my wife does not like me to come and scratch the blackboard in the house, and I keep doing it, am I provoking her?
Yes.
If I know that my wife knows that I go out and I work with chemicals, and I come in there and the chemicals are on me, and she sit beside me and she's getting sinus, getting a headache, and I won't go and do something about it, am I not being uncharitable? Am I not provoking her? Well, what about the Lord God Almighty who says, I'm jealous. I am married to you. You can't do me this kind of way. If you're going to do me this kind of way, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to move you out of the land. And here I am in what is called the 21st century, and I'm not going to pay attention when the opportunity presents itself for me to learn better and to do better. I think that I would be provoking the Lord to anger. Now, if an individual is ignorant, I think there's some leeway. But saints, we say we love God. And if we're going to worship God in spirit and truth, why do we think that we should ignore it? Why do we think, well, if I don't know, it's okay? If I don't look at it, God won't judge me for it. But Jesus said something that will slap it in the face of anybody. It's just like, just take the truth and slap you in the face with it. I think it was Matthew chapter 16. He told the Pharisees, you see the sun red in the evening. And you say, it's going to be good weather. He said it's going to be good weather because the sky is red. But he said in the morning you see it red and lowering. You say it's going to be foul weather because the sky is red and it's lowering. He said you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. What was their problem? They had Jesus there. They had the truth there. They did not pay attention to the scriptures, and they did not accept the truth from the one that was given it. You did not discern that the sign of the time is God is providing you with knowledge. God is providing you with the opportunity to know what the truth is and to respond to it, something that maybe other people did not have. He said, woe unto you, Bethsaida and Chorazin, if the mighty works had been done in Sodom that was done in you, it would have repented. Now, we have some truth, and it's wide open for us. What are we spending our time reading? What are we spending our time looking at? It's an indictment. And then it says, in verse 10 of Jeremiah 3, 7 and 10, he called it an abomination. It says, the Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary has this to say about 7 and 18 Jeremiah. They do a lot of good history in their commentaries. Cakes were made of honey, fine flour, in a round, flat shape to resemble the disk of the moon to which they were offered. The Phoenicians called the moon Ashtoreth or Astarte, the wife of Baal, Molech, the king of heaven. The male and female pair deities symbolize the generative nature or powers of nature. The generative powers of nature meant the sex powers. Because if you lived in an agricultural society and you had some cows and you had two or three bulls, if they didn't reproduce, you were losing. Because after a while, you're going to have to, one of those cows is going to have to be eaten, one's going to die. You need them to keep reproducing. If you got land and it's not producing, so whenever they had their fertility rights for sex, it wasn't like, ooh, it's going to be fun. It wasn't all about that. Yes, they did call it fun, but they were looking at living. They were looking at producing more of that wheat, more of that with barley, whatever it was, more sheep, more goats, more animals. And if it didn't reproduce, then it had to, something happen. That's why they would practice a lot of sex. Because they were acting out what they wanted the gods to do to produce for them. And so they would do these things because man in the beginning knew about God. Man in the beginning knew that God had told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. They knew in the beginning that God had killed an animal and made a sacrifice. If they didn't know that much, they knew that there was a sacrificial system and that there was someone higher.